Welcome to ICTJ's weekly podcast in which we discuss current topics and transitional contexts around the world. Today we're speaking with Paul Sales, ICTJ's legal counsel. Paul was recently in Haiti to discuss with local actors the possibility of bringing Jean-Claude Baby Doc Duvalier, who led Haiti from 1971 to 1986 and left office during a popular uprising, to justice for human rights violations. Thank you, Paul, for joining us.
Thank you.
In late January, the state brought corruption charges against Duvalier, and soon after, four Haitians brought charges against him for crimes against humanity. Where do these cases against Duvalier stand today? What might happen next?
The cases are technically in the initial investigation phase, which means that the instructing judge has to come to a view within effectively now 2 more months to decide whether or not there is effectively a case to answer. That is, whether or not he will send those cases on for trial. In that period, he has to complete or have an investigation completed into the allegations.
Will there potentially be a truth commission or other mechanism to address the crimes of that period?
Haiti has tried on a couple of occasions to have a truth commission, and those attempts have foundered. I don't know, frankly speaking, if right now there is an appetite or the means to think about a truth commission again. There's a high degree of merited scepticism about those kinds of ideas right now in Haiti, for all sorts of reasons, past failures, current priorities. But the truth is that what we're keen on doing is at least maximising the information that's coming out to say, even if it's not used right now for the criminal and or truth commission kind of idea, make sure that we get the information in such a way that victims have a way of trying to make sure that their rights are vindicated in some form.
Given that recovering from the earthquake is a priority for a lot of people, there still must be people who survived that period, maybe lost loved ones or were victims, and for them it must be a high priority. Is there still a level of fear? Are people afraid to talk about it? Are they afraid to come out and support a commission?
Absolutely. Huge, huge levels of fear. If you consider, there's two issues. One is the length of time that has passed since Duvalier left office, 1986. Most of the people who were political opponents, either as civilian dissidents or as political activists, basically were either kicked out of the country or left the country for fear of their own safety. That means that the prospects of coming back and speaking out really have to be measured against their own memories of those fears, but also what the circumstances are for being protected and taken seriously now. And talking to some of the victims that are bringing these cases just now, it's very, very clear that fear still plays a large part. Even the way in which Duvalier appears to have been treating the court orders for the control of his own movements with, let's say, a certain degree of self-awarded latitude, then the court doesn't seem to be in a very strong position to insist that he abides by the conditions about where he goes and how he goes around. In addition, there is a strong suspicion that he is surrounded by people who look to many others worryingly like the former kind of bodyguards and threatening presences. People will talk about the Tonton Macoute, the kind of paramilitary organisations that were created around the time to give effect to his fairly brutal reign of terror. And those people still seem to be in the picture and seem to be seen as presenting a threat to people coming forward. So the short answer, yes, threatening environment still exists today.
On your recent trip to Haiti and your discussions with local actors, did you have a chance to gauge whether Haiti can provide a fair trial?
The resources that are available to ensure a robust investigation into exonerating and incriminating information are limited. There's effectively one investigator with maybe two or three assistants working on the case, so we're trying to provide additional assistance to make sure that as comprehensive an investigation into both aspects, an objective investigation, is carried out. The fairness of the proceedings is we will have to wait and see the degree to which the government would be inclined to interfere. And the difficulty, the unknown in that kind of question is what's the situation going to be like after the election. But the fair trial aspect in this, I have to say, is really much more about whether or not victims get their day in court rather than whether or not Jean-Claude Duvalier is afforded the protections he's entitled to. I don't think there's any doubt at all that Mr. Duvalier is in a very strong position to ensure that whatever guarantees he wants will be provided.
You mentioned that the international community has a role in supporting this case. What can international actors do?
Well, practically in the short term, a number of organisations and NGOs are providing technical assistance to the state to do what I've just talked about, providing the additional resources and guidance to help where there is a shortfall in technical ability or resources to make sure that the investigation is carried out as thoroughly as possible. The second thing, in terms of the international community, by and large, most governments tend to defer to the US on public international statements on policy in Haiti. Not entirely, but largely. One thing that would be very important and we would be happy to see is for the US to be making some kind of statement to say, of course, there should be the rule of law should run its course and there should be a fair trial into the investigation of the alleged crimes. A simple statement like that would be important.
I've been speaking with Paul Sales about Haiti's quest for justice. Thank you, Paul, for taking the time to speak with us today.
You're more than welcome. Thank you very much.